Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, April 29th, 2022. Coming up this hour,
Apple has a record quarter, but the forecast sends the stock lower.
Amazon shares slide as the company posts a loss on higher costs.
Elon Musk unloads Tesla shares to help pay for his takeover of Twitter.
And Russian missiles strike Ukraine's capital, Kyiv.
New York City delays pay rules that are meant to close the gender gap. Plus, the days of flavored cigarettes and cigars may be numbered. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Jets and Giants with two top 10 draft picks both went defense, then offense. The Yankees won their sixth in a row.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business App.
Good Friday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning. We're coming up to 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 23 points this morning. Dow futures down 80, and NASDAQ futures down 112. The 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 2.84%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.64%, and NYMEX crude oil is up 0.8%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin this morning with market reaction to the latest slew of earnings. Apple shares are down more than 2% in early trading. Record-setting earnings are being overshadowed by the iPhone maker's forecast. Apple predicts supply constraints will cost $4 to $8 billion in revenue during the current quarter. CEO Tim Cook addressed the issue on the company's conference call.
I want to acknowledge the challenges we are seeing from supply chain disruptions driven by both COVID and silicon shortages to the devastation from the war in Ukraine. We are not immune to these challenges.
Apple CEO Tim Cook also announced $90 billion in new stock buybacks.
Well, shares of Amazon are down 8.5% this morning, Nathan. The e-commerce giant says it lost money during the first quarter and may see another loss in the current period. Amazon's cloud services division, AWS, continued to impress, but a hiring and warehouse building binge during the pandemic weighed on the bottom line. Poonam Goyal covers Amazon for Bloomberg Intelligence.
For a long time, AWS has been able to offset the weaker retail business. But it's not enough. With growth slowing on the top line across the online business, the costs are rising just too fast for them to curb those higher costs.
Bloomberg Intelligence analyst Poonam Goyal says for the first time ever, Amazon recorded back-to-back quarters of less than 10% revenue growth.
Let's check out some other stocks on the move this morning, Karen. Shares of Intel are down 3%. The chipmaker gave disappointing sales and profit forecasts indicating weaker demand. And Robinhood shares are down nearly 11%. The financial upstart says first quarter revenue tumbled 43%.
We wrap up a busy week for earnings with big oil and focus, Nathan. ExxonMobil reports this morning, a preview from Bloomberg's Tom Busby.
After Russia's invasion of Ukraine sent crude prices surging over the past 2 months, along with global demand, it's boom times right now for the nation's biggest oil producers. And because of that, ExxonMobil is expected to post its biggest quarterly profit in more than a decade. Investors will be looking for guidance on increased crude production and possibly more share buybacks and higher dividends. I'm Tom Busby, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Tom, thank you. Earnings so far have not turned around market sentiment. In fact, the S&P 500 enters the final trading day of April on track for the worst month since the pandemic bear market. More from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The S&P is showing a month-to-date loss of 5.4%. By comparison, this month, NASDAQ is down 9.5%, while the Dow is down 2.2%. Volatility has been a persistent feature in markets all year, with investors on edge over China's struggle to suppress COVID, Russia's war in Ukraine, and worries that central bank tightening may tip the U.S. economy into a recession. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. Well, in Asia, it's a different story for stocks today. Chinese technology shares jumped after new policy promises from the country's top leaders to bolster the economy and markets. Let's get the recap from Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index rose for a third time this week, with Tencent and Alibaba among the biggest gainers. The Hang Seng Tech Index soared more than 10%, rebounding from earlier losses as the country vowed to support healthy growth of platform companies. Shortly before the measures were unveiled, Chinese tech stocks reversed earlier losses as traders speculated about a possible relaxation of the year-long regulatory clampdown. And China's yuan strengthened a little during the day's trade, but is poised for a record monthly drop as the economy suffers from lockdowns resulting from the nation's COVID-zero policy. In Sydney, Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thanks. We're finding out more details this morning on how Elon Musk is financing his Twitter takeover. Let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. Wall Street suspected Elon Musk would have to sell some stock to cover the $21 billion equity portion of his deal to buy Twitter. Now a filing shows Musk offloaded about $4 billion worth of Tesla stock. Shortly after those filings were made public, Musk tweeted that no further Tesla sales were planned. Meantime, Bloomberg sources say before the deal was announced, Musk floated the idea of cutting jobs and costs at Twitter. On calls with bankers, Musk also discussed ideas to monetize the platform to boost cash flow, including a potential subscription service to drive recurring revenue. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Renita, thank you. Well, let's shift gears now and get to the latest on Ukraine. Russian missiles struck Kyiv overnight, but the battle for Donbas is still Russia's strategic focus. Meantime, here in the U.S., President Biden is asking Congress for $33 billion in aid to Ukraine, but the road to approval won't be easy. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
The Ukraine part has broad support across Congress, but it risks getting snarled in his ask for COVID funding and immigration. The Senate could vote on the emergency spending next week, but the House will be on recess. So Congress could finish by the week of May 9 and send it to the president. But if Democrats insist on attaching long-stalled funding for vaccinations and immigration costs, it could be delayed indefinitely. Biden did urge Democrats to pass them together. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. S&P futures now down 25 points. Dow futures down 95. NASDAQ futures lower by 112. The 10-year Treasury yield 284. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. It's now 5:07 on Wall Street. We're at 42 degrees in Central Park. They're still picking up some road work overnight on the northbound Merritt Parkway between Norwalk and Westport. Just keep an eye on that. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Happy Friday, Michael.
Happy Friday to you, Nathan. New York City has postponed one of the nation's most far-reaching requirements for employers to tell job seekers what they can make. Such pay transparency laws are championed as giving applicants, particularly women and people of color, a better shot at fair pay. The law was supposed to take effect in May, but the city council voted yesterday to delay it for 5 months after employers waved red flags. The law says employers with four or more workers must include a minimum and maximum salary in any job ad. New York State is setting aside more than $31 billion in this year's budget for schools. Governor Kathy Hochul says more than $360 million in this fiscal year will help students and teachers in Yonkers bounce back from the pandemic.
I'm so proud to have just signed a budget, supported a budget that had the highest investment in education in our state's history.
Governor Hochul says every penny is worth it. Funeral services are set for today for fallen FDNY firefighter Timothy Klein. Klein died Sunday while fighting a blaze in Brooklyn. Services will take place for the 31-year-old in Bell Harbor. Eight other firefighters were hurt in that blaze. A 21-year-old man who had autism also died in the fire. In the Southwest, thousands of firefighters have continued to slow the advance of destructive wildfires, but high winds returned today that sparked the spread of the blazes a week ago. More than 160 homes have been destroyed in one rural county in northeast New Mexico. The FDA wants to ban menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars. FDA Commissioner Robert Califf says studies that show the minty taste and cooling effects of menthol and cigar flavors like strawberry and grape increase the appeal for adults and young smokers alike.
We really want to emphasize this is not just we want to take away menthol. in cigarettes is we want to help people stop this smoking, which is causing so much death and disability.
FDA Commissioner Califf says menthol cigarettes account for more than a third of all cigarette sales in the U.S. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Coming up to 5:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Good morning, John Stashar.
Good morning, Nathan. Second year in a row, the NFL draft began with Jacksonville. The Jags took Georgia pass rusher Trayvon Walker. That allowed Michigan's defensive end Aiden Hutchinson to stay home with Detroit. Houston took LSU cornerback Derek Stingley. And the Jets, picking fourth, took Cincinnati cornerback Ahmad Sauce Gardner. Not once in Gardner's college career did he allow the receiver he was defending to score a touchdown. The Giants were next. Their pick announced not by Commissioner Roger Goodell, but by 19-year-old New Jersey resident Sam Prince, who has a heart and lung condition as part of the Make-A-Wish program.
With the fifth pick in the 2022 NFL Draft, the New York Football Giants select Kayvon Thibodeau, defensive end, Oregon!
Thibodeau, once projected to be the first pick of the draft, he should help a Giants pass rush that was virtually non-existent last season. Their offensive line also struggled, so two picks later, the Giants took Alabama tackle Evan Neal. Top 10 ended with another Jets pick, Ohio State wideout Garrett Wilson. So Zach Wilson will throw passes to Garrett Wilson. Rounds two and three of the draft tonight in Las Vegas. Quite a home stand for the Yankees. Six games, they won them all. 10-5 over Baltimore. Three-run homer for Aaron Judge. Yanks were helped by five Oriole errors. That's one more than the Yankees have had all season. Yanks played tonight in Kansas City. NBA playoffs, three game sixes. All were series clinching wins on the road. Philadelphia up by one at halftime. Sixers won by 35 in Toronto. Dallas won by two in Utah. And Phoenix won in New Orleans. The Suns' Chris Paul took 14 shots. He made all 14. John Stashelli, Bloomberg Sports.
Wow.
Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. S&P futures down 27 points now. Dow futures down 108. NASDAQ futures down 123 points. We'll get more on the earnings disappointments from Apple and Amazon next. We'll be speaking live with Gene Munster, co-founder of Loop Ventures. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 1130 weather, mostly sunny, breezy, low 60s today. We'll be in the low 60s and mainly sunny tomorrow. Clouds increase Sunday, so does the temperature. We'll get up to near 70. Right now, 42 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures lower this morning following earnings from Amazon and Apple. And we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. Right now, S&P futures are down 30 points. Dow futures down 121 and NASDAQ futures down 144. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 2.85%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 1.25%, up $1.31 at $106.68 a barrel. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Russia pounded targets from practically one end of Ukraine to the other, including Kyiv. The bombardment of the city took place while the head of the United Nations was visiting Ukraine's capital. Round one of the NFL draft is in the books. The first five picks were all defensive players. The Jaguars took Trayvon Walker with the top pick. The Jets at number four picked cornerback Ahmad Gardner. The Giants at five took another edge rusher, Kayvon Thibodeau. In baseball, the Yankees beat the Orioles 10-5. The Red Sox and Nationals lost. NHL, the Islanders beat the Capitals 5-1. The Bruins won. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. We're coming up to 5:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we are wrapping up a very busy week for tech earnings with souring sentiment this morning. Shares of Apple are down about 2.5%. The iPhone maker reported record sales in the latest quarter, but the outlook is what's causing concern, and Amazon is plunging by nearly 9% with spending maybe catching up on that e-commerce giant's profits. Let's get more insights now. Gene Munster is with us this morning, co-founder of Loop Ventures. Gene, it's good to speak with you this morning, and want to start with Apple because CEO Tim Cook was pretty explicit in the call after the record sales that the drag from the supply chain is a big concern for him. Is it a concern for you?
It's not. And I think it really hides the bigger picture here, which is the supply chain constraint topic has been part of the Apple story for the past 20 years. Apple comes out with a new product. Consumers have to wait 2 to 4 months to get the new products. What happened a year ago, in actually a year ago to the date, April 29, 2021, is notable because that was the first quarter that their CFO talked about more broader supply constraints. They had never mentioned that before. We had a one-time mention in that quarter. Since that time, they've been averaging 9 times talking about these supply constraints. And the reason why I mention that is that each time they have proven, not just over the last 4 quarters, but the last 20 years, that consumers are willing to wait when Apple products aren't available. And so when we as investors in Apple, kind of the broader investor in Apple community, gets their heads wrapped around the vortex of what does it mean with these supply constraints, the impact on the quarter, this quarter it's a negative 7%. I think what misses the point is that those sales just get pushed into subsequent quarters. And the reason, the final piece that's most important, and this was a spectacular quarter, the piece that's most important around that and evidence that consumers are willing to wait is Apple just grew their business at 9%. The street was looking for 4%. That was in the face of a 53% comp, just a staggeringly difficult comp, and they still grew off that, along with shutting down Russia for a month and the slowing macro. And I think what that speaks to is that all of this hand-wringing around what's going on in the supply chain really misses the bigger point that Apple has products that people want.
To that point, though, Gene, are Apple consumers willing to wait if the products don't show big changes in upgrade? I'm thinking about iPhone 13 compared to iPhone 12 or even the iPad. The sales have been kind of sluggish on some of the newest lines.
Well, I think that year in, year out, consumers do wait. And part of the reason is that we're just increasingly dependent upon these products. And so I think, yes, people do wait for them. And I think the results were impressive. They grew the U.S. at 18% this quarter. I mean, these were lights out good numbers. And so I would disagree. I think they're doing a great job of growing the products. So, I think China grew at 4%. Tough comp there, too.
Let's turn to Amazon. The spend seems to be a focus for investors. Has the spending on personnel, warehouses, caught up with growth?
It has. Well, that's the key. They have 1.4 million workers, and inflation's hitting them. That's the vortex that Amazon's facing much more than Apple and other tech companies. And I think what you're seeing is slowing growth. Their retail business is down 3% this quarter. They had a difficult comp. They were not able to power through that comp. This is different than what happened to Apple. As I mentioned, Apple continued to grow nicely against a difficult comp. Amazon did not have that benefit. And so when you think about the expense question related to Amazon, you have to put it in the context of what's going on with their broader business. And so you have this dipping retail business. That dip is likely going to accelerate in the June quarter, probably going to be down 6% from down 3% in March. And then you have these rising costs. And so you have this mix. And in Apple's case, I felt like this actually was really a phenomenal quarter. In Amazon's case, I'm more concerned because they are a barometer for broader consumer spending. We're starting to see that slow. And you throw on top of that, that cost equation that you mentioned, Nathan. And I think you get to a point where this stock can be range-bound here for the next 3 to 6 months.
In our last 30 seconds here, Gene, can Amazon Web Services make up the difference?
The simple answer is no. It's Web Services are about 12% of total revenue. And at the end of the day, this is still a retail business. And so Amazon needs to essentially what has to happen is they need to just spend this year resetting growth expectations. And I'll leave you with on a shiny note, not only for Amazon, but for broader tech. 2023 is going to be a great year because I think that the comps are going to get easier. And I expect these stocks to do well at that period.
We'll put that on tape, see if it holds up. Gene Munster, great having you on with us this morning. Gene Munster, co-founder of Loop Ventures, as we watch stocks fall to wrap up this trading month. S&P futures are down 25 points, Dow futures down 94, NASDAQ futures leading declines down 123 points. The 10-year Treasury yield, 2.86%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly sunny, breezy, low 60s today. We'll stay in the sunshine tomorrow with low 60s for Saturday highs. Could hit 70 with increasing clouds Sunday. Right now, 42 in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 4 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Apple shares down about 2.5% in early trading, despite posting record earnings. In a conference call yesterday, the company said it could lose up to $8 billion in the current quarter due to supply constraints.
And shares of Amazon are lower as well, Karen, down nearly 9%. That company announced it lost money in the first quarter and could see another loss in this period. Bloomberg Intelligence senior e-commerce and retail analyst Poonam Goyal says it's due to rising costs.
AWS continues its pace, so that's great to hear. On the online business, clearly in line with expectations, but the margin, weak. You could say that that's surprising, but it's really not. I mean, from everything that we've been seeing all year, the supply chain crunch is only getting worse. It's not getting better. So they are getting hit from higher costs across the board.
Bloomberg Intelligence analyst Poonam Goyal says Amazon's cloud service, AWS, has always been able to offset higher retail costs until now.
Well, elsewhere, Nathan, shares of Intel down more than 3% after second quarter forecasts raised concerns. And later today, we'll get results from oil giants Exxon and Chevron.
Let's turn to Twitter now, Karen. We are finding out more about how Elon Musk is financing his takeover. And let's get the latest live from Bloomberg's Renita Young. Good morning, Renita.
Good morning, Nathan. A filing shows Elon Musk offloaded about $4 billion worth of Tesla stock to cover the $21 billion equity portion of his deal to buy Twitter. After those filings were made public, he tweeted that no further Tesla sales were planned. Bloomberg sources say before the deal was announced, Musk floated the idea of cutting jobs and costs at Twitter. And on calls with bankers, he also discussed ideas to monetize the platform to boost cash flow, including a potential subscription service to drive recurring revenue. Live in New York, I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Renita, thank you. Overseas, stocks in China are rebounding. The Hang Seng Tech Index surged 11%, and Chinese equities rallied after the country announced economic stimulus plans and a commitment to curbing the spread of COVID.
And in Ukraine, Karen, Russian missiles poured over the capital, Kyiv, overnight, and Secretary of State Antony Blinken says Russia is continuing its offensive in the Donbas region.
There is a ferocious battle taking place right now across hundreds of miles in eastern and southern Ukraine, and the Russians bring a lot of firepower to that.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken says the U.S. and other nations continue to arm Ukraine to defend those regions.
And S&P futures are lower this morning, down 31 points. Dow futures down 120. NASDAQ futures down 139. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. This is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 5:33 on Wall Street. We're at 42 degrees in Central Park, and we've got an accident on the westbound Belt Parkway at Knapp Street. Details coming up in traffic. Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York City postponed enforcement of salary transparency until November after advocates and business leaders clashed on whether pay disclosure is the best way to close a persistent gender gap. The city council, who voted for the delay, also exempted companies from being charged a monetary fine for the first violation and limited lawsuits related to the pay information to current employees. The approved amendments represent a partial win for businesses that had lobbied against the law, which was originally set to take effect by May 15th. Funeral services take place today for fallen New York City firefighter Timothy Klein. He died Sunday while battling a blaze in Brooklyn. Services for Klein, who was 31, take place today in Bell Harbor. A 21-year-old man also died in that blaze. President Biden confirmed that there are ongoing discussions in his administration about reducing student loan debt, though not for proposed $50,000. White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki says despite these talks, the president remains eager to sign anything that comes to his desk from Congress on this issue.
If Congress sends him a bill tomorrow, he could sign it, and he would sign it to give $10,000 of student debt relief. He has not hesitated.
President Biden's spokesperson says that the president has not ruled out the possibility of executive action to get the ball rolling. The FDA says it will be moving ahead with a proposed ban on menthol cigarettes and flavored cigars nationwide. FDA Commissioner Dr. Robert Califf says it could save thousands of lives.
An estimate show it meant that if menthol was no longer an option in combustible tobacco products, up to 654,000 deaths would be avoided over the course of 40 years.
Dr. Califf says menthol cigarettes account for more than a third of all cigarette sales in the U.S. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street. John Stash, hours here at the Bloomberg Sports Update.
All right, Nathan, the draft was in Las Vegas, but New York dominated the early going with four of the first 10 picks. The Jets at four took Cincinnati cornerback Sauce Gardner, came back at 10 to select Ohio State wideout Garrett Wilson, so the Jets filled two definite needs, as did the Giants, taking Oregon pass rusher Kayvon Thibodeau at five, Alabama tackle Evan Neal two picks later. Giants GM Joe Shane then asked about how it all shook out.
We've been through these scenarios a million times. Like, we had seven or eight cards, and we just kept switching them back and forth based on different scenarios, and this was a scenario we went over. And if there were two tackles on the board and the pass rusher, we were going to go pass rusher knowing we could get a tackle at seven. So, you know, we were ecstatic when that scenario, you know, came up.
The first overall was Georgia edge rusher Trayvon Walker to Jacksonville. Only one quarterback taken. Kenny Pickett played college football in Pittsburgh. He'll stay there, drafted by the Steelers. Their longtime QB Ben Roethlisberger just retired. Draft continues tonight, rounds two and three. The Giants yesterday made official that they will not pick up the fifth-year option on QB Daniel Jones. That would have assured him $22 million in 2023. Giants want to first see how Jones does and if he can stay healthy this upcoming season. Yankees tonight bring their six-game win streak and the best record in the American League to Kansas City. Yanks beat the Orioles 10-5. Baltimore had five errors. Aaron Judge had a three-run homer. Nolan Arenado caused the benches to empty in St. Louis Wednesday, got hit with a one-game suspension. NBA playoffs, top seed Phoenix trailed by 10 at the half, but won in New Orleans as Chris Paul made all 14 of his shots. Suns win the series 4-2. Dallas won its series with Utah. Philadelphia did likewise with Toronto. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street. Time now for the Tri-State Business Report. For that, we turn to Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Home sales in the Hamptons sagged in the first quarter, weighed down by a lack of listings. There were 671 homes for sale in the area at the end of March, the fewest on record in the 17 years that appraiser Miller Samuel and brokerage Douglas Elliman Real Estate have been tracking data. Inventory was down 42% from the first quarter of 2021. A 17-room New York City mansion formerly owned by Italian designer Gianni Versace is coming on the market for $70 million. Versace started the Versace Fashion House in 1978, bought the townhouse for $7.5 million in 1995. Connecticut's on track to become the fifth U.S. state with comprehensive consumer privacy legislation. Both chambers of the General Assembly have approved a bill. It would give people the right to opt out of the processing and sale of their personal data and ask that it be deleted. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey.
Thanks, Ed. It's 5:38 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio is on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
and Steve Podisk on KNX in Los Angeles. We're talking about Netflix cutting jobs after its disappointing subscriber growth.
I'm Joan Doniger telling KCBS listeners in San Francisco that Apple expects to be bruised by another round of COVID restrictions in China.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on KTRH in Houston. Oil heading for its fifth monthly gain after another tumultuous period of trading.
I'm Jeff Bellinger, and on WIOD in Miami, I'm reporting Frontier Airlines is cutting flights at some Florida airports because of congestion.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting a buyer has emerged to redevelop the Buick City site in Flint.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. It's 5:39 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
With Brazil's presidential election less than 6 months away, the state of the economy is the country's biggest priority. Unfortunately, neither incumbent Jair Bolsonaro nor his main rival, former President Luiz Inácio Lula da Silva, have shown signs they intend to prioritize the economic reforms the country needs to return to sustainable growth. Brazilians deserve better. With many voters still undecided, a third-way candidate with a credible economic record could conceivably seize the middle ground. After all, centrist parties have fared well in recent municipal elections. But so far, moderates have failed to unite behind a single presidential standard-bearer. Unless a viable alternative emerges soon, Brazilians will be left with a choice between two populists, neither likely to make the changes needed to unlock Brazil's potential. That would be a shame. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And you can hear Bloomberg Opinion editorials every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. S&P futures down 30 points now. Dow futures down 119. NASDAQ futures lower by 140 points or 1%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly sunny, breezy, low 60s to wrap up this week. It'll be mainly sunny, low 60s tomorrow. Clouds increase Sunday, high near 70. Right now, 42 in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and stocks in Europe are rising as China's pledge to ramp up stimulus lifts optimism and strong earnings continue to roll in, while U.S. stock index futures are lower following earnings from Amazon.com and Apple, with Amazon shares down about 8.7% this morning and Apple down 2.5%. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg, and NASDAQ futures are lower, down 143 points or 1.1%, with technology dragging S&P futures down about 32 points and Dow futures down 131. The DAX in Germany higher up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 13 32nd, yield 2.87%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.68%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.33%, up $1.41 at $106.77 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 1.3% or $24.90 at $19.16.20 an ounce. The euro 1.0572 against the dollar, British pound 1.2565. The yen is at 130.45, and Bitcoin this morning down 1.8% at $39,150. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Ukraine's leader has accused Russia of trying to humiliate the United Nations by raining missiles on Kyiv during a visit by Secretary General Antonio Guterres. One Russian target struck a residential high-rise and another building. Former Minneapolis police officer Derek Chauvin is appealing his conviction for murder of George Floyd, arguing that jurors were intimidated by protests. Round one of the NFL draft is in the books. The first five picks were all defensive players. The Jaguars took Trayvon Walker with the top pick. The Jets at number four picked cornerback Ahmad Sauce Gardner. And with a nickname like Sauce, you know he's good. The Giants at five took another edge runner.
Strong Sauce, Michael.
Kayvon Thibodeau. Baseball, Yankees beat the Orioles 10-5. Red Sox and Nationals lost. NHL, the Islanders beat the Capitals 5-1. Bruins won. Global News, 24 hours a day. I'm Michael Barr. And you can hear it on Quick Take, and powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. And now, here's Sauce himself.
Oh, thank you for that. Much appreciated. It's 5:49 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. Let's take a look at these markets now. Jeffrey Yu is with us this morning, senior strategist at BNY Mellon. Well, you know what they say about April, Jeff, the cruelest month, and it certainly looks that way, at least for U.S. stocks. Do you see any signs for optimism for risk investors heading into May?
So at this point, it's balanced. I would say it's still going to be quite defensive. If you look at how yields are performing, still the Fed is leading the way, 50 basis point hikes and fully being priced in with a chance of more. So as long as we still have uncertainty over the Fed's path, I don't think the markets are going to be on a risk-on mode. And that's on top of the other issues, such as supply, such as the war, for example.
Obviously, though, we are seeing a risk on, at least in European markets this morning, on the promise of Chinese stimulus. Why isn't that necessarily playing out in the U.S. market?
So U.S. is more of a closed economy, and so trade to GDP ratio is much lower compared to Europe, and Europe will see a lot more demand for capital goods, for example, if China ramps up investment. I'll just be a bit cautious on whatever China does, right? It's kind of a double-edged sword because if it's incremental investment, if I look at a Bloomberg headline from this morning, along those lines, that may not actually be sufficient to do much for the time being. But on the other hand, if it's full-blown infrastructure investment, for example, then you have the risk of exacerbating the current supply issues. So be careful what you wish for.
Now, we're seeing, obviously, a dampened sentiment this morning on the earnings, particularly from Apple and Amazon. How much further pressure do you think we could see on stocks as the broader earnings picture plays out in the weeks to come?
It's still going to be based on whatever's going to happen, on the Fed side. I think that's going to be the dominant driver. So I would say focus on that. Stocks will react to overall financial conditions and the Fed and the dollar. Once some of those things have more clarity, then I think we will be able to see some better performance. But at this point, let's wait for the Fed. Yeah.
Are you looking for further rises in Treasury yields on the Fed's moves?
So for now, I think we're going to be in a high range, but heading into the next decision, I'll probably be upward moves will be a bit more contained for the time being. But net-net, we still think that the pressure is going to be to the upside, and we're seeing that in the dollar.
And the impact of dollar strength on stocks, where could that go?
So the impact of dollar stocks, right now, the dollar on stocks is twofold. One, it does reduce overseas earnings, but on the second part of it, it actually it does improve the U.S. purchasing power as well. So for those with input costs exposed to overseas, that helps margins. So it's a double-edged sword. But again, as I mentioned earlier, the overall sense is the U.S. is a bit more of a closed economy. It's not too exposed to international conditions, and that means FX. So compared to the Eurozone, the Fed will be less worried about the currency.
Coming out of the May decision from the Fed, we're going to get the April jobs report. What's your expectation there, and what kind of a driver could that be for Fed policy going past May?
So we don't have a firm view on that yet, heading into the jobs report. But net-net, I do think it's also important to focus on where average hourly earnings go. If that continues to rise, not just on an absolute basis, on a relative basis, above inflation levels, looking at core PCE today, for example, at 5.3, 5.4%, as long as the gap versus that is narrow, then again, going back to the Fed, the inflation risk is going to be strong, and the risk sum to growth will be strong, demand will be firm, and policy risk will be to the upside, and that will impact the sentiment.
Thanks for this, Jeff. Great having you on with us this morning. Jeffrey Yu, senior strategist at BNY Mellon. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. And it's 5:53 on Wall Street. Time now for a legal story we're watching this morning. It is brought to you by American Arbitration Association. Business disputes are inevitable. Resolve faster with the American Arbitration Association, the global leader in alternative dispute resolution for over 90 years. More at ADR.org. A year after the sudden collapse of Archegos sent shockwaves through global finance, Manhattan federal prosecutors arrested arrested and criminally charged the owner, Bill Wong, and his former top lieutenant in one of the highest-profile Wall Street prosecutions in years. Prosecutors said the two men had engaged in a criminal scheme to manipulate the markets and mislead banks in a scheme they called staggering in its size and brazen in its execution. For more, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to James Park, a professor at UCLA Law School.
This is being called one of the highest-profile white-collar prosecutions in recent memory. Do you agree with that, and why?
I agree, simply because of the size of the alleged market manipulation, something that I think the extent of which, in my mind, seemed unimaginable until it actually happened. And it's also a very ambitious case, in my view. Market manipulation is very difficult to identify and define. And so the case, in my view, is forging ahead in new areas and could not only affect the individual defendants in the case, but it could also create flawed expectations for the way that trading happens on Wall Street.
I get what his lying to the banks was about, but why is it illegal to buy a lot of stock, to buy it at different times of the day? I mean, what's illegal about that?
It's a very high standard to meet, June, and I think you've really hit the nail on the head. The standard for market manipulation, which was discussed in the criminal context about 30 years ago in a case the Second Circuit decided called the Mulherin case, basically says the sole purpose of the stock purchases has to be manipulation, that you are buying the stock prices solely to artificially inflate the stock price. And it's really a question of intent. What was the intent of Archegos, Huang, and the other participants in the scheme? Was the sole intent to artificially inflate the stock price? And I think that's a very tough standard to meet, although I think it's very fact-specific. And I think that the key thing the government has going for it may be the sheer size of the transaction and what may be a complete lack of any connection to any economic fundamentals or, you know, analysis that the stock was underpriced and so further investment was warranted. But it is going to be a challenging legal theory to win at trial, and also who knows what the Second Circuit will do if the case goes up on appeal. On the other hand, this is an area of law that has not been developed all that much, and sometimes courts will adjust the law to some extent based upon a particularly egregious set of facts, and so I would not rule out the viability of this legal theory.
And that's James Park, a professor at UCLA Law School, speaking with the Bloomberg's June Grasso. Catch more of that interview, plus analysis of the latest legal news, by subscribing to the Bloomberg Law Podcast or downloading the show at Bloomberg.com/podcast. Attorneys can find exceptional legal research and business development tools at BloombergLaw.com and on the Bloomberg Terminal at BLaw Go. S&P futures down 32 points this morning. Dow futures down 134. NASDAQ futures down 149. 10-year Treasury down 12/32, yield 2.87%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.68%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 1.3%. Still ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, a check on the business headlines and all the news you need to start your day. And this is Bloomberg.